Aren't you glad to be alive and in church? Pastor Steve said we have a great crowd, and we do. Some are back for the first time today in months, but I should qualify what he said. We do have a good crowd, but we're safe here for those of you watching. That's right. We're growing again, but for those of you who are worshiping at home and have not been in church live for a service in a while, we are socially distanced. We're scattered about. No hugging going on here. Nobody's hugging. I'm not even shaking hands, but we do wave and salute at a distance. And does everybody here feel safe to be in church? Okay. We're doing all we can to keep us safe. Church is not the place to go and get sick. Church is the place to come and be healed. And so we're grateful for all of you who are here and for the many who are watching or will watch our service on Facebook. Well, this past week, Brenda and I had a special day to celebrate. And actually, there were two celebrations going on this same week. We have celebrated 44 years of marriage, and in the same week, our church is celebrating 34 years as a local church. That's something to be thankful for. And for one pastor to stay at the same church for 34 years is a very rare thing. But the honor of my life is to be connected to this great church family. And today, we're going to do what God's people have always done down through thousands of years. We're going to celebrate the goodness of God. We're going to mark this milestone, this special day in the history of our church. Today, I'm talking to you about His story, celebrating 34 years of abundant life. Now, even in the Old Testament, God's people would frequently have a festival or a feast or a celebration, and they would remember the goodness of God from the past, the times they were delivered from enemy armies and plagues of every kind. They would mark the date and revisit with a celebration annually and even more often. So it's only fitting that the people of God today, and especially those of us connected to Abundant Life Church, honor God for His goodness to us over these years. The name of our church, of course, comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10, that says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, 'But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly.'" And even though this verse has already been read, I'm going to read it again because of all the scriptures in the Bible, this one verse best describes the goodness of God on our church during the past 34 years. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." What a great summation that would describe the goodness of God. He has done abundantly, above and beyond everything we could ask or think for Him to do. The 34 years of our church have been an expression of the undeniable favor of God and the absolute certainty of His faithfulness. God has been faithful to us corporately. Now, while we're celebrating His goodness, and it is a special day, it's a milestone in the life of our church family, as an individual, each of us should take the time this morning in God's house to look back at how good He's been to each of us. He's never left me. Even though, if I were Him, I would have left me many times across the years, He's been true to his word. He's never walked away from me. And he's done the same for you. So not only are we corporately and collectively honoring God for 34 years of faithfulness to us as a church family, each of us have every right today to thank him individually for being there for us always. Now, in sharing briefly this morning the story of Abundant Life Church, and it is his story, it is not my intention to say anything that would be weird or even spooky. That happens a lot in churches. But I'm not intentionally sharing anything that could be interpreted as weird. But I will have to say parts of his story are supernatural. God has been in it all. And his story of our church for 34 years is in part my story and in part your story. I want to pull back the curtains just a little, lift the veil, and maybe share some things that have been behind the scenes and not publicly celebrated. But on an occasion like this, I think it would be appropriate. When I was a teenage boy growing up, I had one dream in life. One dream. All of my teenage years, my dream was to get out of school and become a musician in a gospel band. I wanted to travel the country, play keyboards in a band. That was the only dream I had. And when I turned 18, my dream came true. Unbelievably. Out of everybody, every keyboard player, Mark, I'm sorry, it wasn't you. Khaki, I'm sorry, it wasn't you. But of all the keyboard players in America, the king of gospel music at the time, Laverne Tripp, called me and hired me to play keyboards in his band. And we traveled all over the country. I did the whole thing with the bus and my bunk in the bus. And it was an amazing experience, not just in America, but in a few other nations as well. Brenda and I got married a couple of years after that, and I didn't want to travel. I wanted to be around her more. And so I came off the road and continued to work for Laverne and Edith Tripp. Helping in their office, which was also a publishing company and a printing company and a distribution company for his music all over the country. And that was 10 years. We enjoyed a great life in Spartanburg. And while we were living in Spartanburg, Laverne and Edith moved to California and left his offices in Spartanburg, where we were living. He had moved to California because of the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and he was live on that great Christian network, the most powerful Christian network even today in the world. Many hours a week, he was on TBN, and so they had to live there, and we didn't. We enjoyed Spartanburg. Life was good, and we had this thought, and it was a fear that, oh, the day will come when Laverne may want us to move to California because they're there. And sure enough, that day happened when Laverne told Brenda and me, we want y'all to move too. We're moving our offices. We want y'all to move to California. Well, now, California at that time to me was a great place to visit, but we didn't want to move. It seemed like a world away, and we would be so far from our family. And so we dreaded the day that we knew would surely come, and it did. And Brenda and I didn't want to go. Now, we love Laverne and Edith still to this day, have such great love and respect for them and who they are and what they are doing in ministry all over the world now. But we thought about quitting, just just quitting, getting another job rather than move across the country. It was on a Thursday afternoon, and we were feeling the pressure. I've got to either start packing our stuff to move, or I've got to tell Laverne I'm resigning, and I got to find another job. It had been 10 wonderful years. And I told Brent on a Thursday evening at home, eating dinner, I said, I'm frustrated about it. I don't know what to do. Time is running out, and God won't say anything to me. So you see if he says anything to you. And I flippantly said that, and I went back to the office. It was a 10-minute drive, a Thursday evening. When I walked in the office, my private line was ringing. The third button was lighting up, and that was the line Brenda always called me after hours. I knew if that phone was ringing, it was ringing when I walked in. I just left home 10 minutes earlier, and I answered, and she said, darling, I think we need to move to California. And I was so shocked to hear her say that. Believe me, if you had been at the house earlier, you would be surprised to hear her say. I said, what in the world would make you say that? And she said, well, when you left, I was praying about it. And I believe I heard the Lord say, if you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life. And when I heard those words, it witnessed to me. Now, I'm not spooky or weird. I'm so natural. I'm the most natural pastor you will ever meet. But parts of his story are supernatural. God has poured his super all over my natural and your natural. So one word from God made the difference. Instead of being vexed up, frustrated, not knowing what to do, just a word, a right now, an in-season word made all the difference. We could not wait to pack our boxes and load the truck, and we drove to California based on the word we received. Now, when we got to California, it was beautiful. Before we unpacked the truck, I said, oh, God said he was going to show us his perfect will for the rest of our life. We have found it right now. We're not leaving. Look at this beautiful place. I mean, it was wonderful. Oranges growing in the yard, lemons and grapefruit growing in the yard, but snow on top of Big Bear Mountain, way over in the distance. You could see all year long a little snow cap up there. We thought we had found paradise, so we settled in for the rest of our life, thinking that would be the will of God. Now, as soon as we got there and unpacked and started attending a church, the first service we walked into in Riverside, California, it was Bethel Christian Center, pastored by Dr. Ron Halverson. And we walked in, 2,000 people in the church. Nobody knew us. It was our first visit to the church. And so back in that day, the Spirit of God was moving in a powerful way. And the charismatic renewal was at its fever pitch. And Brenda and I walked into this new church for the first time. The pastor, after praise and worship, pointed to me. Out of 2,000 people, pointed to me. Well, now, we were visiting, and I thought surely he was pointing to somebody else, but an usher came and got me. This happened publicly on a Sunday morning, brought me down in front of the pastor, and he prophesied to me a word of prophecy. Anybody know what a word of prophecy is? And he looked at me, and part of what he said is, you will go back across the country. You will go from here back to there. And I thought, now this man's got it all wrong. He don't know. He don't know I just got here. And I love it here. So I'm going to put that one on the back burner. But after a year had come and gone, seasons were changing in our life. I was 29 years old, and I found myself feeling that as wonderful as life was and as happy as we were, I felt like I would have to answer to God one day for more than that. And so we felt like God was changing seasons, and we didn't know what or where. We began seeking the Lord our year. We had spent a year there. And one night, sitting up in bed, I was reading my Bible. Brenda was reading hers. I forgot my translation at that time, but she was reading the Living Bible. And we were both praying about, God, are you saying something? Do you have something you want us to do? And she said, darling, and she always calls me darling. I'm not just, if she ever calls me Carl, I'll see you later. She said, darling, she was in the Living Bible, in Isaiah, I've got a word for you. I said, what is it? And the word from Isaiah said, one day late in June, when I was 30 years old, suddenly the heavens were opened unto me and I saw visions from God. When she read that to me, it was in May, and I was going to turn 30 on June the 24th. One day late in June, when I was 30 years old, suddenly the heavens were opened unto me and I saw visions from God. We knew God was saying something. And pretty quickly after that, he confirmed to us that after what was almost 12 years of a great season in our life with Laverne and Edith Tripp, a season was changing. And when God called me to the office of pastor, he also assigned me to the city of Florence. Now, many times God will call a pastor and bless the pastor wherever the pastor goes and they move around. But in my case, when I knew God was calling me to pastor, I knew he was calling me to pastor in Florence, the city I was born in and the city I had sworn I would never move back to. And yet, that was the will of God. He kept his promise. If you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life. So we moved in July, and we had the very first church service at Abundant Life Church on Sunday, September 7, 1986, and the rest is his story. And I want to say a few things quickly as we celebrate a special milestone, a special day in our church life. First of all, I'm thankful for a great team. Always we've had a great team, a great staff in the office, great leaders in the church. I'm so grateful for a wonderful wife that has followed me everywhere in the world I've ever been and helped me, not hindered me, but helped me obey God. Sometimes she would be the one to give me the word, and I would realize she's making it easier. She could have made it harder or even impossible, but I'm grateful for a wonderful wife, grateful for a great associate pastor, Steve Osborne, who for almost 20 years now has been our executive pastor here at our church, makes life so much easier for me and for you in ways you may not know. His wife, Lori, and those who've served and still serve over the years in every area, whether it's been our kids or our youth, our babies, our intercessors, our ushers, our greeters, even our baristas when it was legal to drink coffee in church. And so many have been a part of the team over the years. And I don't want to leave any one of you out, those of you who are here today or those of you watching live stream. If you are connected to this church, today is the day I want to say again, thank you. Thank you, and God bless you for your faithfulness. I want you to know you make this a great church by attending our services, serving God, by giving and tithe and offering. I believe, not because of me, because of you, I believe Abundant Life Church is one of the great churches in our nation, and we are having a global impact. In describing our church, we are non-traditional. Look at me. And look at some of you. And we're non-legalistic. If I were not a pastor and attending and committed to a local church, I would appreciate not being judged every time I walked in the door. I would appreciate being accepted and being loved no matter what. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And by not being a legalistic church with a lot of do's and don'ts, I mean, we could give out a list of don'ts, but most of us would break it. So we believe in loving God and loving each other and letting the Holy Spirit clean all of us up, and He takes His time, and each of us are at a different mile marker on the same journey, headed in the same direction. Now, our church is a diverse church. You've always been able to look around. For 34 years, we've always been this way. And you would be able to see different races worshiping together. We've never been all white, never been all black. In addition to those colors, we've had some red and some yellow and some green and some tie-dye, I think, if that's possible. Everybody is loved by God. Each life matters to Him and matters to us. Multiracial, multicultural. Isn't it wonderful to worship God together when we have so many differences, and yet the realization is that we're not threatened by our differences because every one of us here agree on one thing, and that is Jesus is Lord. And then the vision of our church. You know, there is that scripture that is famous that simply says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I like Frank Harvey's translation of that verse. It goes like this: where there is no progressive, ongoing revelation of the will of God, people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. Is that not powerful? So the vision for your life as an individual and for all of us collectively as a local church is so critically important. If we don't have God's vision, it's an ongoing, progressive revelation of His will, then we wander aimlessly without direction until the day we die. And so we thank God for the vision He's given us. I will describe it briefly in just a moment, but God has proven Himself to be faithful, a faithful provider. I remember my pastor, Houston Miles. He is our bishop. He'll be 92 in a month and alive and doing well. He and Miss Evelyn, the great people that they are. And I remember him telling a group of pastors. I was among the group many years ago. And he said, I've never had a problem trusting God for finances and provision to do everything He's ever asked our church to do. And when he said that, I received that for me and for us. If our bishop, if that's his testimony, if he says, I've never had a problem trusting God for finances and provision to do what He's called us to do, then I took that on myself. God, if you can be that good to Bishop Miles and his church, Evangel Cathedral in Spartanburg, you can be that good to us at Abundant Life in Florence. And God has proven himself to be a great provider. This is our fourth building in our history. The first was a rental. And I won't go into the story, but we were able to start our church, have our very first church service in a brick church building that had been for sale for over a year and had not sold. It had sat empty. And the thing I will share with you today, just as a highlight only, about that building is I saw it and it was for sale. I was intimidated, knew I couldn't buy it. We hadn't even had our first service. I didn't even call the number, but I thought, be great if we could start our church in that building. And a month passed, and suddenly I felt like I need to call that number. I called the number, and a man answered the phone. I said, I'd like to rent that church. We're starting a church congregation. I'd like to rent your building. And he listened to me for a minute or two, and here was his response. He said, Carl, if you had called me 2 days ago, I would have told you no. But 2 days ago, our insurance company called and said they're canceling all the coverage on that property because it does not have a tenant. He said, Carl, you will be doing us a favor by renting that property from us. And so that was the provision of God for that season. And then we were there for 6 months and it sold and we had to move and we didn't know where to go next. A small congregation, but growing even in the early days. And so I remember the pressure was on. We had to be, this coming Sunday was our last Sunday and we didn't know where we would have church. And it was on a Tuesday. That week, I called Tuesday. I told Brenda, I'm going to find a church somewhere. Or there's got to be a building right somewhere. And I told her, get in the phone book. That was a thing back then. Call all the realtors. Start with the A's and go to the Z's and simply ask, we're in search of a building that can be suitable for church services. Do you know of any? So while she was doing that, I was riding around Florence looking for buildings, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me because the pressure, anybody been under pressure ever? And the crunch and time running out, and I felt like the Lord said to me that Tuesday morning when I'm looking for a building, son, I don't have to build you a building. There's one already built. All I need to do is reveal to you where it is. The pressure lifted. I mean, a word from God. Has anybody ever gotten a word from God that made a difference? I stopped at a payphone. That was a thing back then. Called Brenda. How you doing with the realtors? She said, well, strangely, I did what you said. I started with the A's and I've only made one call. I said, really? She said, yeah. The top one was Alpha Omega Realty. Well, now, I don't know Greek much, but I know he is Alpha and Omega. And so she said, I've made an appointment for us to meet him at 3 o'clock, and he's going to take us to a building he said he thinks would be perfect for us. The man's name was Jimmy Rainwater. We met him for the first time that day at 3 o'clock at his office. He took Brenda and me in his car and drove us to the corner of Coit and Chevis to a two-story building on the corner there, downtown Florence. And it had been a bank building in its heyday. It was empty now, and he owned it. And we walked through with him, looked at it, and it was not in the best shape, but I could see this would work for us. Maybe God is in this. And I said, Mr. Rainwater, we may be able to use this building for our church services. How much is the rent? And he took a key off of his ring like that and handed it to me. He said, Carl, it's free. Use it as long as you need to for the glory of God. I'm just saying, God has been a great provider for our church. And we were there for 2.5 years. And during those 2.5 years, our church continued to grow. And the building got smaller. So we were faced with a decision. Should we move again? Or ask him, can we knock a wall out? And the Lord spoke to us from Scripture. Glenda Goodwin brought the Scripture to my attention at a critical moment in time. It's in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? And when I heard that Scripture, it was like God said, this is such a gift. He's given this building for free. Stay here and make it better in every way. Be faithful in that which is another man's. So I asked him, can we knock down that wall and paint and put new and all that? He said, sure, whatever you want to do. So we did and wound up staying there 2.5 years and outgrew that. Then our third building was the property where we were for many years, House Springs Road, right down the street here. Now, it's very visible to the city, but we stayed there for several years and were blessed there. We continued to grow. Then another chapter in the history of our church, and it is his story, is in August of 1992 at the encouragement of our bishop, Houston Miles. I made my first trip to Russia, and I just went committed to preach a 5-day crusade in a city I had never heard of. They had it all arranged. And so we got there, and that messed me up for a full year. But I learned in my first trip to Russia about the vision of a local church. And I learned this: if the vision of the local church is not big enough to include the whole world, then the vision is too small. It's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our target city was Liepāja, Latvia, in the former Soviet Union. I went for 5 days, had such an experience with people hungry for God. Communism had just ended. They were free to worship after decades. And we eventually moved there, my family and I, for a year. Listen, church, I've got to say this to you again today. Thank you. Because you, who's heard of that? Who has heard of that, that a church would send their pastor to the other side of the world for an entire year? Not fire him, just let him go. And we went and lived there and started Abundant Life Church Latvia, which is still there today. Pastor Vilnis Smagas, the pastor I ordained and installed as the pastor of that church after our year was over, he's still there faithfully serving that city and that congregation. But our church life was forever changed because of that. We had a taste of world missions, a vision that included the world. There was a time during that season where new members coming into our church here, we would tell them, as they would join our church, if you don't have a passport, get a passport, because we want to send you on some mission trips. I remember Billy and Sue Driggers had moved from Charleston. They were in a great church there, moved to Florence and were worshiping with us. And on a membership Sunday, they walked in and said to me, we're ready to get us a passport. And so many, by the dozens or hundreds, perhaps, over 34 years, so many of you have gone to the mission field for at least a short-term mission, and we've been heavily involved. I really do believe that's why God has blessed our church like he has, is because of our commitment to the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, after that year was over and we were back and I made another trip. I forgot where. I was overseas somewhere, and a guest speaker spoke on a Sunday morning. I wasn't even there. His name was Rick Godwin. And when Brenda picked me up at the airport a few days later, as soon as I got in the car, she said, "I've got a cassette tape." That was a thing. And it's queued up to a prophecy Rick Godwin gave the church Sunday while you were not there. And she said, "I've got it queued up, listen." And Rick Godwin prophesied over us as a church while we were on House Springs Road many years ago and said, "I see God blessing this church financially." He said, "I don't mean like a trickle." That was his words. Not, I wrote it down, "not just a trickle, but like waters of a rushing river. God is going to bless this church financially." Well, I heard it and said, "Well, okay, I'm happy to hear that." That was about it until we began looking for property to build a permanent location. And God gave us an instruction from our bishop even then. And that led us to a piece of property down the street here that Walmart now owns. And we thought, after we had gone into debt to buy that dirt right down the street, that that was the miracle. But right after we bought it, Walmart demanded it. And I won't go into all that story, but we decided to sell that land down there to Walmart. Because our plan there was, let's pay for dirt for 5 years and then see where we stand and when we can start building a building. Well, Walmart bought that property and blessed us with finances. Not just a trickle, but like waters of a rushing river. The word of the Lord came to pass, and God again proved to be a great provider. We were able to sell that land to Walmart, buy this land right here, which we like better, and start building immediately instead of waiting for years on a vision that would tarry. God was in it all. And in making that move, we were able to relocate from House Springs Road, which is in obscurity for the most part, to the main street, South Irby Street in Florence. We moved from obscurity to a much higher visibility as a church. And we became known for years when I'd meet people on the street, tell them I was pastor of Abundant Life. They'd say, "Oh, that's the Walmart church." I said, "Well, yeah, I guess you could say that." But God used Walmart to bless our church. And our life has been about, our church life has been about international church planting. There have been so many that we've lost count. Also, a part of what we did many years ago was became a campus for Christian Life School of Theology. And for 12 years, students who were mostly pastors would come here for 3 days every month for a live professor that would teach a course and do the exam. And we've had 65 pastors from an hour's distance all around Florence that came here for their degree in theology and seminary study. That shifted us from being just a local church to a training center for ministry. So the vision was expanded exponentially by that one thing. I was shocked. I thought four or five might show up. 65 pastors stayed until they got their degree, many of them going all the way to a doctorate degree in theology. We still are tight with these men and women. We love and appreciate them. Our relationship with them is a God thing. Over the years, we've hosted pastors' conferences and church leadership conferences in other nations, not just here, but in Nicaragua many times, in Russia, in Latvia, and in Vietnam. I remember Travis Matthews was with me on that trip in Vietnam. Wasn't that a lot of fun, Travis? It was a 3-day underground illegal conference. And on the second day, the police raided the room, and we barely, they took us in and took our passports and looked at us strange for a while and then let us go and told us to leave town, which we did. But the heartbreak for us was 300 of those Vietnamese pastors had come out of the jungles and everywhere so hungry. And we hated to leave them. They were being persecuted. Some of them had been in prison for 6 years for just preaching the gospel. And get out and start preaching again. And so our church has had an impact in many nations. I could call a lot of names. I'll only call just a few. But a lot of men and women have come here. The Lord has sent them here for a season. Just a season of our church life and of their life. Preparing them for promotion afterward. Like Mitch Horton, who was the associate pastor here and pastored the church for the year we were on the other side of the world. And under his leadership for that year, the church grew in every way. And now Mitch Horton pastors a great church in Raleigh, Victory Church. That is his life's work. He was with us for a season, a blessing to us, and now he's in his life's work. Virginia McDaniel, pastor of Hope Christian Center in Darlington, was here for many years before going out to plant a church. Pastor B.J. Wiley was our youth pastor for a few years before we sent him back to the hometown where he was born, Barbersville, West Virginia, where he now is the pastor of Oasis Christian Center. My son in the Lord, Pastor Markwell Jackson, who was here, our youth pastor for a while, knowing all along that the Lord would open a door and send him out to pastor his own church. And what an honor it was to be able to ordain him. And I went over to his church and installed him as a pastor, the great historic Mount Sinai Church right here in Florence. And then Jay Kennedy was an associate pastor for two or three years and a blessing to us. But today, Jay is pastor of Trinity Church in Columbia. And Albert Grice, who was one of us for many years, with the call of God to pastor, the Lord opened the door, and he is now pastoring Liberty Christian Fellowship in Marion. In addition to those, and there are others, that we just simply helped somebody plant a church in the States. We've done it internationally, too. The two names I will call, of course, Brian Hudson, who, by the way, is in the States. He and Millie, they're preaching this morning in Lancaster at a Hispanic congregation, but Brian Hudson in Nicaragua not only started Abundant Life Church Nicaragua, but has helped dozens of churches get planted there. And Vilnius Smagas, the pastor of our church in Latvia, who's been so faithful there for so many years, and many others. Let me also say we're not just about world missions. We're also about home missions. We believe you start in Jerusalem. We believe that every local church should add value to its immediate community. And so here's been our vision for home missions. We help the homeless, the helpless, the hungry, and the hurting. And we do it through other ministries that are parachurch ministries right here in our city, like House of Hope, which is a shelter for the homeless. If you have no place to sleep tonight, you can walk in there and they will put you up for the night and feed you and give you a sleeping clothes. While you're sleeping in their disposable clothes, they will wash and dry and iron the clothes you're wearing when you walk in, so you'll have new or clean clothes in the morning. We partner with them every month. And then the Lighthouse Ministry, which is a local ministry that helps people who are in financial need, can't pay their bills. The Lighthouse is a great ministry there. And then the Pro-Life Ministry here in Florence. It's called A Choice to Make. Every month, part of what you give, we support every month without fail. Then there's Hope Health, We've recently made a commitment to them because we know what a great ministry they are to people who are sick and don't have money or even insurance or any help to get medical treatment. They take those kind of people right here in Florence. Caring Hearts of the PD, that's founded by our sister Pat Quillen. I thought, there she is over here, Sister Pat Quillen. They specialize in ministering to people that are forgotten and overlooked. And so what an honor it is to be connected with local missions too. And then I want to read a note that I usually wouldn't read, but it came in the mail this week. And since we're celebrating God's goodness today, oh, here it is. One thing we do is we give to the American Red Cross. I think you should know some of this. Every month we give to them. And we do it so that they can have the funds to minister to families that have a total loss house fire. You've seen it many times on the news. That's how it started. I saw a home on the news burned to the ground, and I went by the next day and looked at the ashes, and the family that had lost everything was there. And I met them. I said, did y'all live here? Yeah. Said, oh, my, I'm sorry for such a loss. And I came and told everybody on a Wednesday night about this family that had lost everything. And we received an offering for them and gave it to them. No strings attached. Didn't say, you got to start coming to our church now. None of that. We just wanted to be a blessing to that family who needed it. That led me to going and meeting with the president of the American Red Cross for six counties in the PD region of South Carolina. I sat and talked to the president and said, "What we want to help everybody who loses everything in a house fire. Give us a call." Well, that was overwhelming. Then I realized they're already doing it. When somebody has a house fire in Florence County or any county in the PD, before the fire trucks and the family leave the property, the Red Cross shows up. And the Red Cross puts the members of those family in a hotel locally for 3 days and nights and gives each one of them a $120 Walmart card to buy clothes with. And then after 3 days, they network in getting them to family members. So I thought, why would we want to reinvent the wheel? We can't even do that anyway. We can't help everybody. But let's partner with the Red Cross. They're doing what we know Jesus would do if he were here ministering to somebody who had lost everything they own in a total loss house fire. And the president of the Red Cross wrote me this letter this week, and it's a little unique because it's handwritten, not on stationery. I want to share it with you. Dear Dr. Morris, thank you and your amazing church for your incredible and consistent support through the years. It is truly appreciated. Since 2013, the Congregation of Abundant Life Church has donated a total of $33,993. I cannot emphasize enough how much your compassionate generosity means to our life-saving mission. Many thanks again to you and your church congregation for your commitment. I look forward to visiting with you soon. Best regards. I mean, this is what our church is all about. And world missions and home missions. We built five church buildings in India, and the pastors are on our payroll still. It doesn't take much for them to live a comfortable life in India. We committed to finish an orphanage in Nicaragua, which we did, and it's still raising children today in a Christian orphanage. We're connected to Evangel Fellowship International, which is a group of churches like ours and pastors like me. And all of us have one thing in common. We have a vision for world missions, and EFI has missionaries in 26 nations. We contribute to them every month and helping take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, our church is 34 years old. And in addition to all of the networks and partnerships we have at home and globally, OM Ships is one of the best. It's the most unique ministry. It's a huge, gorgeous ship, like a luxury ocean liner, but it is a gospel ship. It houses missionaries by the hundreds, and they go into nations and get involved in that nation with humanitarian help, as well as Christian gospel literature. And while the missionaries on board, when they get to a port, they go out and make a difference in neighborhoods and cities and communities in practical ways. The underground church in many of those nations come on board the ship for 2 or 3 days of leadership training and equipping and resources. It's the most amazing ship. You know, Jesus preached from a ship a lot. And so Miles and Patty Taves, lifelong missionaries and also members of our church, they had 4 children. Wherever the ship was docked when Patty went into labor, that's where their children were born. Can you imagine? How would you like that life? To travel the world as a missionary on a ship with your family and having 4 children, and I think a couple were born in New Zealand, or where were they born? Africa, New Zealand, Germany, and the Caribbean. Imagine that. Ladies, those of you who are with child as we speak, perhaps, imagine that. But what a great world missions ministry. And we partner with the best at home and all over the world. And at age 34, we're still a young church. And we're moving forward. And our best days are ahead for us. I think we should give God praise right now for being a great provider for 34 years. Would the praise and worship team come, if you will? I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come, and we'll close with one song of giving God glory and celebrating His goodness to us and believing Him for even better things ahead. God always saves His best wine for last. And so even though He's been faithful to the uttermost, I believe our best days as a church are still ahead for us. Now, I don't know where our marching orders will take us, but we can be sure that God will always place more than enough in our hands to do everything He asks us to do. And even though things are different because of the pandemic, COVID, churches have had to make great adjustments, as everybody else has. But even during a pandemic, we're reaching more people than we ever have because of live stream. And there are 300,000 churches in America, 300,000 Christian churches. And it's almost like every church has their own television station now. People watch us in other nations every week and many other states. So we're reaching more people. Every church is reaching. It's a little different. I got to get used to the different. We all do. But our best days are ahead. And in addition to 300,000 churches in America now, because of the pandemic, there are 75 million house churches. People, even some of our members right now, worshiping God, they've made their own house a church on Sunday morning. And so we're so grateful for that. Now, I'm going to give 2 more verses. We're going to read it again. Stand, if you will, and read these verses out loud. So appropriate as we worship God before we leave this morning. Let's read it. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.